Good morning. Buen día. We want to welcome each and everyone here this morning. We also want to extend a welcome to everyone who is listening to us through radio, through telecast, or through live stream. Good morning to all the college students here this morning. And if this is your first time with us, good morning to you as well. This morning, the flowers that are on the stage are in memory of Lena Lehman. Now I want to invite you to join me in the call to worship. Canten al Señor un cántico nuevo. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Canten al Señor, alaben su nombre, proclaim his salvation day after day. Proclamen su gloria entre las naciones, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Grande es el Señor y digno de alabanza. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, El Señor es Rey. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Él juzga a los pueblos con equidad. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Brame el mar y todo lo que en él contiene. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Canten jubilosos todos los árboles del bosque. Canten delante del Señor, for he comes, viene ya para juzgar la tierra. He will judge the world in righteousness y los pueblos con fidelidad. Sing the journey number 25.
And we will be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. And I invite you to stand. And our next song is in the same green Sing the Journey book number 104. God moves in a mysterious way.
This morning, prayers of the people, we have a few requests. Caleb Gunawan, is recovering from pneumonia. Royal Bauer, as he recovers from a stroke. Martin Lehman, as he recovers from hospitalization related to his heart. The families of Oscar Roth and Mel Yoder. As Oscar died last Saturday, November 2nd, and Mel died on Sunday, November 3rd. The family of Lena Lehman, as Lena died on Tuesday, November 5th. Mary Ann Schreiner's brother, Henry Hershey, died on October 27th in Parkersburg, Pennsylvania. So we have a few requests, so let's pray. Eternal Lord, compassionate, merciful, gracious, loving, we thank you for your mercies and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for church, our community. And we come together in request for these families. I ask you for all those who are recovering. I ask that you would touch their bodies, that you would strengthen them, that you may visit them, and that you will give them comfort. I ask you for the families of those who lost someone. I ask that you would visit them with comfort. Have mercy on them, not just today, but the days to come, as they remember their loved ones, as they miss them, as they desire their company. Give strength. I also ask that you would hear the silent prayers, the silent requests, and those present and those throughout. I also ask for our community. There are a lot of hurting folks out there, and I ask that you would continue to use College Mennonite Church and your people throughout Elkhart County to touch and restore and strengthen our communities. Have mercy on our country, on those who have taken positions of leadership. Lord, have mercy. In Christ's name, I ask. Amen.
As the children come down into the circle for children's time, the rest of us will sing Som Mandela in Zulu and then English and then again in Zulu.
Thank you. morning, everybody. My name is Joel, and I am Emmy and Evelyn's dad. And I'm also a professor of sustainability here at Goshen College, which means that I love the earth very much, and I believe, oh, look, Matchy Matchy. That is amazing. Very cool. And I believe that people can make a big difference by taking care of it. So I'm wondering if you could raise your hand if you've noticed any changes in the weather lately. Yeah. What have you noticed, kids? What's been happening? It's been getting colder. Yeah, what have you noticed? It's been snowing. We've been seeing snowflakes. What have you noticed? We are wearing coats more often in response to the weather.
The world is turning faster because the days are getting shorter.
The days are getting shorter. We have less daylight. The world is turning faster. Interesting. It feels that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Join the Flat Earth Society on that one. Do you have one more observation? The leaves are changing colors. Well, one of the things that we like to do as the weather gets colder, Emmy and Evelyn and I, is we like to sit by our wood stove that we've been using lately, and we like to snuggle up and we like to read books. And I brought one of our favorite books to read to you. So if you want to scoot up a little closer so everybody can see, you can do that. And I'm going to read this book. This is a book called Swirl by Swirl. A spiral is a snuggling shape. It fits neatly in small places. Coiled tight, warm and safe, it waits for a chance to expand. A spiral is a growing shape. It starts small and it gets bigger, swirl by swirl. It unwraps itself one soft curl at a time. A spiral is a strong shape. Its outer curves protect what's inside. It knows how to defend itself. A spiral reaches out to exploring the world. It winds around and around. And clings tight, grasping what it needs. It never has trouble holding on. A spiral is a clever shape. It is graceful and strong. It is bold. And beautiful. A spiral moves. It swirls through water, gathering bubbles. It twists through air with clouds on its tail. It stretches starry arms through space, spinning and sparkling, forever expanding. Or it curls up, neat and small, warm and safe. A spiral is a snuggling shape. Swirl by swirl. Yeah, it is. So So swirls are all around us. I think that God the artist really likes swirls. I want you to look at something with me. Everybody, take your hands and look very closely at your fingertips. And if you look closer and closer, you've got these fingerprints that are all these unique swirls. And there are only swirls that look like this on your very fingertips. They remind us about what God's love is like. So as we close up, I want you to do something with me. Can you take your arms like this? And I want you to make a swirl all the way back, all the way around your body. And I want you to feel that love. Adults, you can do it too. We all need this. We swirl that in, we spiral that in, and we receive God's love, and then we also allow it to expand. So let that love expand and go out. We let it expand, and we let it spiral and swirl back in. And we receive it, and we allow it to expand. And it's doing this all the time. God's love is always swirling in, and it's expanding out. So make sure you grab your worship bags on the way back to your pews. Thank you.
We will sing number 29 in the Sing the Journey book. You are all we have.
Our speaker this morning is Phil Waite, our team leader, pastoral team leader. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Phil. We bless him this morning, and we ask that he may share what's on his heart that comes from your heart and lays it on our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name.
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I will be reading from Psalm 97, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. The word of the Lord. All the people were gathered on a vast plain. And they said to themselves, "Let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." So they had bricks for stone, and they had bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Let us, out of these bricks, build a great city with a tower that goes all the way up to heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves." God observed that this was going on, and God came down to the earth and went back up to the councils of heaven, and God said, "Look, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." For those of you who didn't recognize that story, it's from Genesis 11, and it's the Tower of Babel story, and you're welcome after the service to go take a look at it and read it again. But that quote from God, "Nothing that they propose to do will be impossible for them." We human beings, remarkable creatures. Scholars who study the history of the earth have started calling this time that we live in, this geological epoch, the Anthropocene era. Anthropocene, after human beings, after people who have so impacted this planet. And when we think of technology, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of technology generally is something like this: technology. And we want to know what kind of technological savvy people have. We were asking this week, how many people at College Mennonite text message? That's technology. How do we use technology? But the most profound technological impacts on our planet that we human beings have had have nothing to do with iPhones, and not really anything to do with the Industrial Revolution, and certainly not the information age. The profound impact that we have had on this planet goes way back in time to fire and agriculture. The ability to engineer seeds and plant them in soil and water them on scale, and to store seed, to store harvest, and to control it and to measure it, was an extraordinary technological advancement that has changed the face of this planet. And fire dramatically changed the face of this planet. Did you notice in that story in Babylon that they have bricks? And what do they do with the bricks? They fire them thoroughly to harden them. And the bricks are used instead of stone. The bricks are a technological advancement. And the text is very clear to point that out. They want us to see that this is technology at work, that human beings have acquired technology, and because of their technology, nothing will be impossible for them. All creation will be changed. Nothing will be the same. And we think, when we think of technology and we think of the impact on the earth that we have, we think of buildings like this one or vast cities with skyscrapers, and we think, wow, that's quite an alteration on the landscape as it was. And I, growing up in the Pacific Northwest, I often wondered what it would have been like to see the landscape before it was altered by modern cities. But we forget that the very presence of even the first humans on this continent altered the ecosystem that was here, transformed it forever. Technologies that we perceive as being primitive altered the face of the planet. Ireland, before the Industrial Revolution, was deforested. There are more trees in Ireland, I think, now than there would have been in, say, 1600. We have, as a species, altered our planet in ways that are almost unfathomable. And we might judge whether we've altered it for the better or for the worse. But we have altered it. And the text realizes, the Bible realizes in multiple places, that this is dangerous. Nothing they propose to do will be impossible for them. This is dangerous. And the danger is pride and arrogance and hubris. That we human beings will decide, become to feel, that we are, in fact, in control. That the rest of creation is ours to act upon as we will. That we are the subjects and creation is the objects, belongs to us, and we can control it and manipulate it with technology to be what we want it to be. And this is dangerous on two scores. The first score is that it's spiritually dangerous. We become, through our technology, we come to think of ourselves as being God, as possessing that kind of power. The second is that with our power, with our technology, we in fact do alter the earth in ways that perhaps are for the benefit of some, or that we think are for our benefit, but in fact do not fulfill the purposes of God for creation. So there's a spiritual piece of technology, that is, we come to look at ourselves as having absolute kinds of power, that we can do what we want. Nothing is impossible for us. We can do what we want. And the second is that we, with our power, we do things that are at odds with God's purposes for creation. And both of these things separate us from God. Now, I'm not anti-technology. Let me be clear about that. I am not anti-technology. As I just pulled an iPhone out of my pocket. I'm not anti-technology. But I think with Scripture that we must be very careful about how we use it and how we think about it. And as I read the psalm for this week, Psalm 97, one thing jumped out at me. And it's something that I think the Bible does more often than we might notice. And that is, creation itself, non-human parts of creation, are given agency. They have power, and they have power to fulfill the purposes of God that is outside the manipulation of human beings. Do you notice that in the text? Do you notice that in Scripture? It begins, "The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice." Now, the word is eretz, and it could mean earth, or it could mean land, or perhaps it could mean soil. Let the soil rejoice. The soil is given agency of itself to fulfill and pursue the purposes of God. Let the many coastlands be glad. Let the beaches give God glory. Let the beaches rejoice. Let those swirling, well, I love that, the swirling waves give agency to the spirals and to the swirls. Fire is given agency. That's something that lately in the news we've seen. Fire does seem to have agency, seem to have a power of its own. Lightning lights up the world. Mountains melt like wax. Earth sees and trembles. Heavens proclaim. We are wise as humans to be mindful that this creation in the midst of which we live has power. And it has power given to it by God for the purposes of God. And we are wise to recognize its power and to live in harmony with that power. It's creation, a creation kind of spirituality. This season is our harvest season, of course. It's fall, and we talk a lot about harvesting. And so I've been thinking about this. And thinking about technology. Now, agriculture in the last 70 years has changed radically. They now have combines that drive themselves in fields. I don't know if anybody's ever seen them, but they're GPS controlled and manipulated, and it's a self-driving combine. And with satellite technology, you can examine a crop and a field in great detail. We have technologies to use in farming now that are almost unimaginable to us. But yet, soil is the power of God, not our power. And seed is the power of God. And our ability to technologically manipulate these things should not get in the way of the fact that these things have power on their own. As I was thinking about this, it occurred to me that it is right to say that squirrels harvest nuts. Is that squirrels harvest nuts? Do squirrels harvest? Does that seem right? So harvest isn't necessarily just a human technological invention. And before we came up with agriculture, we harvested wild berries and nuts and roots and tubers and so on from nature's store, the store of creation. And in that sense, we human beings had a clear understanding of our dependency on God. And as the natural world being the power of God and expressing the power of God. The title is Humility is in the Heart. And we Mennonites have talked a lot about humility over the centuries and held that up as a high value. But I sometimes wonder if our humility isn't some sort of performance art. A humility as performance art. A kind of affected or practiced humility. Things that we say or things that we do or ways that we dress. And maybe that's just a superficial kind of humility. But maybe we need to go deeper, a deeper kind of humility. And that is a humility that recognizes our primal, our deep dependence on God. It's a different kind of humility. It's a humility that's in the heart. This harvest season, I want to invite us to that kind of humility. As we think about the food that we eat at this time of year, as we look around us and we see the fields being harvested, as we see the leaves change, as we see it get colder, as we see it start to snow, I encourage us to see in the changing seasons and see in this harvest time not our own technological ability to plant and to manipulate seed and to harvest, but to go deeper and to see the power of God. Food is not just a product that we have manipulated with our technology, but it is and it represents the power of God that has a purpose, that has volition, that God has given to it. Amen.
And as our response, we will sing together number 384 in the Blue Hymnal of Worship book, "We Give Thee But Thine Own." 384.
This time I want to invite us to continue in our worship with our tithes and our offerings. Please come and place your offering in the basket or give it to an usher who will bring it forward for you.
And during our offering, we will sing the song Nata de Turbe, number 562 in the hymnal and also on the screen. And this song in Spanish, the English translation is "Nothing, let nothing trouble you, let nothing frighten you. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone is enough." We're going to sing this short song many times until our offering is collected and we all are all back in our seats and settled back in.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, you have given to us gifts beyond measure. Forgive us when we think that these gifts belong to us or that their creation is our own doing. This is your power of love in our lives. We give you thanks for all the gifts that this harvest season brings. And we ask you to fill our hearts with a spirit of generosity to share what you have given to us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our final blessing song is number 77 in the Green Sing the Journey book. We will sing this song through once in English and twice in Spanish.
Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Go in peace.